Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which you brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for your iniquities.
It's good to see everyone out this morning. Appreciate Jim reading that passage for me. This morning we begin several weeks in which we'll be looking at the second major section of the book of Amos in the Old Testament. This section of the book consists of three sermons, and I think we would be probably most accurate to think of these not as actual recordings of the sermons the way we in the modern technology of the day would actually record the sermons so that people listen to them at their leisure. But these are probably summaries of the messages that Amos preached throughout Israel as he was doing his prophetic ministry. In your text, it'll vary slightly by which translation you use, but each of these sermons begins with some form of the phrase, hear this word. And so that's how you can tell in your reading that you're moving from sermon 1, sermon 2, sermon 3. And so in this lesson, we're going to look at the first of these three sermons. And so when we're done with this section of the book of Amos, I think we'll have a pretty good understanding of the nature and the content of Amos's preaching in the communities of Israel as he was doing his prophetic ministry. So as we look at this then, there are several ways in which we can look at it. The first is that we want to see that Amos actually begins by stating why God is speaking to them. And that could potentially be a question when someone comes and gives a message to you or makes a criticism of you or adds something for you to consider. One of the first things that might come to your mind is, why are you even talking to me about this? If you as the hearer feel that there's a valid reason for that, then you may give more attention to what they have to say. And so Amos starts by laying that groundwork. God is speaking to them because they are His people. Now, when we get into the content of the message, we're going to find that they are acting like His people. But from God's perspective, they are His people. And therefore, He has a right to address them. And I really think the other two things that Amos mentions to them in this introductory type of way is really saying, here are the underlying reasons why God is perfectly within His rights to speak to you and to speak to you the way He's going to speak to you. He says, He is the one who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Their national history. They would not be where they were in the place that they were when Amos came to them, had God not originally delivered them from their lives as slaves to the Pharaoh of Egypt and given them their liberty and made them into an independent nation. And the second thing he says is that he chose you out of all those nations. If God was going to select a nation to be his nation, he had all of them at his disposal. And so there is a very special relationship and a specialness to being the one that God selected. Now, God selected them not to make them better than all the other nations. When we recognize the overall framework of the entire story of redemption, we understand that God selected them to be an instrument in a part of His greater plan to bring salvation to the world through through Jesus Christ, and he had a role for them to play. So he didn't select them to be the dominant world power of their age or of any age. He did not select them to be militarily the most feared nation on earth. But he had chosen them, and that was the choice he had the right to make. But from the standpoint of God, that established a special relationship between him and the people of Israel. And so he spoke to you because he chose you and he made you what you are. And so Amos says God is speaking to you upon that basis. The second thing we can look at within this sermon, and I just had Brother Jim read the introduction to the sermon, and so one of the things I'm going to do here is we'll read bits and pieces of this entire sermon as we get into the sections of it. And so in this section, he says, he really declares the nature of God's message. And this is really the last, starts with the last phrase that was in the reading that Brother Jim read for us. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Do two men walk together unless they have made an appointment? Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion growl from his den unless he has captured something? Does a bird fall into a trap on the ground when it has no bait in it? Does a trap spring up from the earth when it captures nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people tremble? If a calamity occurs in a city, has not the Lord done it? Now, when we look at that, and Amos asks this series of rhetorical and kind of proverbial questions to them, how does that relate and how does that identify the nature of God's message? Well, the nature of God's message is really set forth in the first thing that Amos says there. This is a message of judgment. He says, I will punish you for all your iniquities. They were God's people, and they had sinned against him. He had given them the rules and the laws by which he wanted them to order their society, and they had violated. And so in this one short sentence, I will punish you for all your iniquities, Amos is establishing that they are responsible for the way in which they have acted, and that God's going to hold them accountable for the conditions that are in Israel at this time. I would think we would all recognize the fact that these two things are what we have in common with them, what all men have in common with Israel. We are responsible before God and we are accountable to God. And he has the sovereign right to hold us in accountability for the way in which we live and the way in which we act. All those proverbial, rhetorical type questions, though, what's the point of that? I believe that it's two things. It's basically that Amos is that emphasizing that this is the expected result of the way which they have chosen to live. That he's going to declare God's punishment. And that really, if you looked at Israel and what was going on in Israel and how they had acted over the past years, you would not have expected anything but judgment to come as a result of that. And embodied in that is the idea that that judgment is just. That God is going to hold them, they are responsible, so God's going to hold them accountable. And that what God is about to say to them and tell them, here's the result of the way in which you've been living, is a just and expected answer from God when the people of God conduct themselves that way. And so he lists five things that basically we would say, well, that would be obvious. Two men don't meet unless they have an appointment. And So we recognize that we make appointments all the time today because we want to see a certain person for a certain thing, whether it be a doctor, a lawyer, or just a friend for lunch. We make an appointment. This doesn't mean people don't occasionally run into each other. We all recognize that. But what he's saying is, you know, if you really want to see somebody, you know you have to make the appointment for that. That lions roar when they're hunting, when there's prey for them. Or that to capture prey results in them growling. You don't catch something unless you put bait in the trap. Then he basically says, when you hear the trumpet in the walled cities of that day, there were trumpeters, and if something was amiss, some danger, they sound the trumpet. And so this is something they would have been aware of. He says, you don't get scared unless the warning sound signs. And so we aren't used to having trumpeters on the wall. We don't have walled cities. But thinking about how would we say that today is, you don't go to your basement unless the weather siren sounds. And you have ample proof of how that is is proverbial truth, because if something happens and the sirens go off on a good day, your Facebook feed gets filled with people saying, what's going on around here? Why is that happening? That type of thing. And so he says these are the natural things that you would have. And so Amos concludes then that if a calamity would occur in their city, and that's the act of judgment that he is proclaiming, it is because the Lord has brought it upon them, and they should have had anticipated that if they continued to act that way, that would be the result. And then the last part of this section, Amos simply repeats that statement of judgment in verse 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. The Lord will announce what he's going to do. And of course, Amos was in his ministry was a part of that process. But remember, Amos is just one of several prophets that God has sent to Israel over the course of their history. Not all of them wrote books. Elijah and Elisha didn't write any books, but there was Hosea, there's Jonah, there's other books of inspired prophecy that were directed and written during the time of the Northern Kingdom. And so the thing that becomes the main body of this sermon from Amos is that he declares that God's judgment upon Israel is a certain thing. And this is verse 8 through 15. And Amos plays on words here because he, in those five proverbial statements, he says, you know, a lion doesn't roar unless it's hunting. It doesn't growl unless it's caught something. And he starts this out by saying, a lion has roared, Amos 3 and verse 8. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Proclaim on the citadels in Ashdod and on the citadels in the land of Egypt and say, assemble yourselves on the mountains of Samaria and see the great tumults within her and the oppressions in her midst. But they do not know how to do what is right, declares the Lord, those who hoard up violence and devastation in their citadels. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an enemy, even one surrounding the land, will pull down your strength from you, and your citadels will be looted. Thus says the Lord, just as the shepherd snatches from the lion's mouth a couple of legs and a piece of an ear, so will the sons of Israel dwelling in Samaria be snatched away with the corner of a bed and the corner of a couch and the cover of a couch. Hear and testify against the house of Jacob, declares the Lord, the God of hosts, for on that day I will punish Israel's transgressions. I will also punish the altars of Bethel. The horns of the altar will be cut off and they will fall to the ground. I will also smite the winter house together with the summer house. The houses of ivory will also perish, and the great houses will come to an end, declares the Lord. So as we look at this, Amos says the message is certain. He says the lion hath already roared. He used that in the previous section. And so he says that your situation is the lion has already roared. That's a proclamation of the certainty of this divine judgment. His point's clear. They should fear the consequence of being subject to God's judgment. God has spoken, so Amos must prophesy. He calls for the people to assemble and hear God's charges against them. Then Amos actually presents those charges against them. He says there is tumult and oppression in the nation. And you can look at this passage and go back to the one we looked at last week, where he did for the four, three transgressions and for four, and see that these are parallel. They do not know how to do what is right. Now, Amos does not mean by that they were simply ignorant of what God wanted of them. Because he makes the point, God has spoken to you. God has sent them the prophets to warn them and to tell them and to call them in repentance. But by saying they did not know how to do what was right, they had become so ingrained in their rebellion and the way in which they lived that they weren't demonstrating any ability to do what God had told them to do. And so, you know, there's different levels of knowledge. Awareness, they certainly should have been aware of what God said, but they weren't connecting it. They thought they were a religious people. They still worshiped God in Dan and Bethel with the golden calf. And they worshiped him, but they added Baal and Asherah and all the other deities of the neighboring nations. And so they were very religious people in their eyes. In God's eyes, they were a very stubborn and rebellious people. And they hoarded up the violence and the devastation in their cities. And basically, that summarizes those three things, summarize everything that Amos said about them in chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And then Amos declares God's judgment. And he says, again, thus says the Lord. So he repeats it several times within this section of the book. But he gets in detail about what that judgment is going to constitute. First of all, they're going to be defeated by their enemies. And you go back to the very first lesson we put in this series, this is being said to them when a time that they're militarily at their strongest, and their kingdom has been expanding, and things have been going good. And he's telling them it's not that good. You are going to be defeated by an enemy. You're going to be dragged from your homes. So there's the beginning of the captivity judgments. You're not going to have what you had. You're going to be under the control of someone else. The idolatrous altars of Bethel will be destroyed. The golden calf of Bethel was the beginning of Israel's unfaithfulness under Jeroboam I. And you remember that in the book of Samuel and Kings, that as this was talked about, there was the story of the young prophet that was sent to Bethel. And we usually focus on the fact that he was told to go there and come directly back, and he didn't do that, so a lion ate him on the road. But the point of that story, relating to the message of Amos, is the message of that prophet is God is going to destroy the golden calf. He's going to destroy this altar. And so now Amos says, and you can look at kind of the symmetry of this. Jeroboam first sets it up. God says, right then, this is not right. I will destroy this. Now, at the end of the time for Israel, Jeroboam II is the king. And God says, through Amos the prophet, that golden calf is coming down. What I said all along is going to happen. The unfaithfulness is now full blown, and the judgment is declared upon the nation. And the days of prosperity and luxury that had characterized them and perhaps led to their abuses that were prevalent in their society, that we've talked about in the previous lesson, that's all going to come to an end. The luxury houses will not be there anymore. And they will not live in luxury. They will be slaves. And then he ends the way he started. He says, thus declares the Lord. An affirmation that this prophetic message is not Amos's. It is God's. And so as we look at this, we see that God's holiness is seen in his refusal to overlook Israel's disobedience. His justice is seen that he has given them ample warning and calls to repent through the ministry of the prophets prior to Amos. The folly of ignoring God's word is demonstrated by the fall of Israel. And Israel trusted all the wrong things. They trusted false religion, affluence, political power, and all of that proved to be disastrous. And I think that's really the warning that the book of Amos has for us in the 21st century. But often the things that man puts their greatest trust in are the things that lead all to their failure. God is in charge, and he will judge justly, but he will judge. Brother Allen is actually on the schedule for the prayer this morning, and he